Welcome to another River Radio Sports Central podcast, powered by our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation. Alongside Matt Varney from 103.5 ESPN, I am Darren Kennard, and we are down to one.
Truly.
It is just one team left standing. The Johnston City Indians will be playing in the 2A state semifinals tomorrow, and they will be hosting, as we record on a Friday, of course, they will be hosting Moroa Forsyth. So the Indians get all four games at home,
yeah,
and the opportunity to get to a state championship game is right there in front of them.
Not often you see your bracket go chalk. Normally you're going to go on the road one way or another. Johnson City has had a heck of a month. And so, honestly, all of Southern Illinois right now should be rallying around Johnson City and saying, let's get you to Bloomington Normal next week. You know, it's let's go. Let's be Indian fans for the week.
3:30 is the kickoff time in Johnson City. The gates open at 2. I suspect the line will be starting sometime this evening because that will definitely be the toughest ticket in town. And as you said, this is an opportunity that you will see all sorts of school jackets and stuff there, because this is the only game in town that's left, and it is the Southern Illinois rep. We have a couple in the Metro East still alive.
Right.
We'll get to those in a bit. But Johnson City is the local team that's carrying the flag for this area.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, possibly lining up as early as tonight. I had heard that Moroa Forsyth was going to try come down and, you know, kind of make the parking lot their own. And then Johnson City got wind of that and said, no, not going to happen. So now they're right, kind of holding their own event earlier than Moroa Forsyth was planning on it. So who knows, if you are not a Johnson City fan, even if you are a Johnson City fan, but you want to go to that game, yeah, just go ahead as soon as school gets out on Friday. But so by the time that we release this, that'll have already happened.
Right.
If you're listening to this right now, just go ahead and just start making your way over there right now.
I mean, think Apple Fest Parade.
Yep.
setting out your chairs a couple weeks early. But no, I mean, the Indians have had a tremendous run. They took care of their business last week against Pena.
Yeah.
Again, opportunistic defense, coming up with turnovers when they needed, and then just grinding teams offensively. And that is really going to be tested with Moroa Forsyth, a team that's a perennial state power. They chuck it around. They can run the ball. So it is going to be kind of that irresistible, you know, force, an immovable object going at it. And the Indians, we talked about this before, about that game against Dixon, you know, getting them ready for Pena. Well, now that game in Dixon, or with Dixon plus the Pena game, theoretically helps you even more to get ready for what's coming to town.
Yeah, without a doubt. And this is not a knock on Moroa Forsyth any which way, but they might be a little emotionally spent after last week. And, you know, people kind of might roll their eyes a little bit at that, but it's true in football where, you know, you have this big emotional come from behind win, which is what Moroa Forsyth had last week, and you just end up being a little bit spent. It's not that you don't have the motivation to go on,
sure,
but, you know, you spend so much from the tank in the game before, and now you got to go on the road, once again, travel about 3-4 hours to Johnson City, and you're going up against a team that deserves to be there. So they might be a little spent, and we'll see how that plays. I'm not sitting here saying that that's going to mean that Moroa Forsyth is going to lay an egg by any means, but just a little bit of emotional exhaustion could play a role here for Moroa Forsyth.
Well, and I think that there was some talk, consideration, again, that's what it is, that's what we do, that Moroa Forsyth and Quincy Notre Dame, probably two of the, you know, the strongest teams in the entire bracket, not just the Southern bracket. And so for Moroa Forsyth to come up with that win, and if you hadn't heard, they were down 21-14. They scored with 51 seconds left, went for two, got it, and they win it 22-21. So, yeah, like you said, it's an emotional win to move on. And now you've got to pack it up and head a couple hours south, and you're coming into a hornet's nest.
You are,
and you know, Johnson City is going to be loaded, and again, I am so interested in seeing, you know, the Johnson City defense has been, you know, bend but don't break. That's kind of been their mantra, and the turnovers have been enormous, and and it's been different guys. I mean, early it was Nolan Causey coming up with interceptions, but I mean they've had, you know, a couple forced fumbles and multiple interceptions, and They've gotten some key fourth down stops when they've needed to. And, you know, and that's, you know, the key, I think, is, you know, that defensive front. Can they get pressure on Moroa Forsythe and make them uncomfortable so that they don't have to send extra guys to get after the quarterback?
And that's going to probably be the biggest key to the game if Johnson City wants to come out a winner, because Moroa Forsythe, they're corn-fed boys up there. They are big. And generally, if you're going against a Central Illinois team, generally you know the line's going to be big. That's just the way it is in that parts of the state. So, yeah, if the defensive line can get away through the offensive line and pressure, and, you know, not just pressuring the quarterback, but also tackling the running back before he gets to the line of scrimmage, stuff like that, then, yeah, without a doubt, they're going to have a similar type of game, I think. But it does come down to that defensive line. It's funny because it's coach speak, but truly, a lot of these big games are won in the trenches here.
And that's been a strength of the Indians on both sides of the ball. I mean, these guys, offensively, a couple times I've shot their games and you hear opposing fans going, well, they're just running it up the middle. Why can't you stop it? Well, I mean, there's obviously misdirection, but there are five road graders in front that are clearing a path for a whole bevy of backs that give teams different looks, whether it's Causey, whether it's Jace Weaver, Evan Sanders, big guy up the middle. You got Marcus Lightson that's also been in the mix. I mean, you've got like five or six different guys, and so they just continue to throw looks at you. But the consistent part is just like, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, the line is key. I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, though, that is the strength of this team. And if they can do things and get that 6, 7, 8 minute drive, you know, Moroa can't score if they don't have the ball.
Exactly.
And that will be another enormous portion of this.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they have all those running backs they can turn to. Not every year do you see a team, even with Johnson City, having that many running backs, let alone that many running backs that could be a starter on another team. You know, they all could really start on any team that they went to, but they're all on Johnson City, so it's only one spot that they can have, but they all cycle through. When you see a team from Southern Illinois go to state, usually they have multiple guys they can turn to in those type of situations where they can say, all right, you get out of there, take a breather, and we're going to turn to this guy because we know he can be just as effective in his own way. And so, without a doubt, Johnson City has a lot of advantages here. But as we've said, Moroa Forsythe is a power. You cannot underestimate them, even though I think they have a little bit more working against them than Johnson City does.
And, you know, when you looked at back at that game against Pena, Johnson City was kind of in control of it. And then Pena scored. They got a stop. And, you know, 3rd and 8 from their own 25. And it was early in the fourth. And you felt like that if Pena gets that stop and the ball back, this is a big point in the game. And it was at that point that Caden Koenig, the quarterback, busted loose for a 17-yard scramble for a first down. And it's one of those plays that you'll see the numbers in the stat page, but that was one that you had to circle because that kept the drive alive. And it was a situation where, you know, he doesn't run a lot.
Right.
And just the way that offense is set up, you know, he throws it, you know, occasionally. Just an enormous point in the game. He comes up with the first down, and then they march down and score, make it two possessions. And those are the type of plays that help you live on.
Yes.
And he's going to have to play really well. Look, I mean, everybody's going to have to play well. I mean, you're in the state semifinals. That's the way it is. But Caden Koenig is a guy that could be an X factor in this, that, you know, all the things that are going on and everything that everybody sees, you know, those one or two passes that he can complete, or maybe it's a scramble, those are difference makers that maybe they didn't necessarily account for because, look, in all the film we've seen, he's not been a major part of this offense.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I want to bring up is just the experience factor for this Johnson City team, both recent and long term. We talked about Dixon, of course, who just ended up having their season end last week. But fantastic in terms of the recent, that was a fantastic experience. And Johnson City's been rolling since. And it, of course, prepared them for Pena. It also prepared them for this coming week, without a doubt, seeing an opponent like Dixon late in the season. The other side of it, though, is the long-term experience of you have sophomores and maybe one or two freshmen that were on that varsity team 2 years ago that got to experience going to the semifinals. This isn't something that they should be quaking in their boots. This is part of every single season at this point for Johnson City, going deep into the playoffs. This is just another day at the office, basically, for them, which is going to be huge. And they also remember the heartbreak of losing. And, I mean, the only thing is that they didn't have to, they didn't get to host the semifinal, right. You know? So there's a lot of experience here, both recent and long-term, that are going to help. Not to say Moreau Forsyth doesn't have that as well. I mean, they're perennial power. But but this is one of those things where, with all that experience, it's going to come down to how hungry are you? Who wants it more? Again, it's coach speak. But when you get down to it and you're in these situations, it really does usually come down to those little things of who's got more experience, who's going to want a little bit more, who's maybe a little bit more emotionally exhausted, things like that, that can definitely play a role. It's small little things. And, you know, I was talking to a basketball coach not too long ago about, you know, a loss they just taken and talked about, you know, just the little things in a game that they lost. And I said, you know, kind of a death by a thousand cuts. It's a similar situation, but it's been building up for a whole season, if not a couple of seasons, honestly.
And for Johnson City, and I've said this a couple times on our Saturday playoff editions of Friday Night Live, their game against Sesterville or Waltonville was outstanding.
It was.
But I still feel like their best game is out there. And the reason I say that is, you know, there's been some mistakes. I mean, they had 14 penalties against mm-hmm. Payne. That can't happen.
No.
And you know, in a game like this, you can't, you know, whether it's erase a positive play or, you know, enable a drive to sustain for the Trojans or whatever, you know, they've got to cut down on the penalties. And again, by and large, that game could have turned last week. There was a fumble. They were driving in for a score up 8-0. And Pena's big D tackle starts rumbling, bumbling, stumbling down the field. And all of a sudden now Pena's got two cracks from inside the 10 with 10 seconds left. And all of a sudden, instead of going up two scores, it could have been tied, but the defense comes up with a big stand. But those are the kind of things that again, you can't have happened in a big game, and that's why I say I still feel their best game is out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. And when you look and see hopefully that best game here in sometime in the next 2 weeks, it may not say 32-0. It might say 30-29 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, when you talk about the defense, you can't depend on them to bail you out every single time. You have to limit your mistakes when it comes down to it. You cannot continue to, especially when you're playing at this level of football at this point. This is when, if you're making mistakes like that and you've made it this far, you're about to get weeded out.
Well, and again, that again puts the onus back on the offense, that if you can get some time-consuming drives, and it's not every drive that has to score. I mean, if you can string together a couple, two, three first downs and eat up 3 or 4 minutes of clock, then their offense is not on the field, and that means that your defense gets a little bit of a breather. You go three and out, then the defense is right back on there. That's a danger zone.
Can't, at this level of a high school football, when you're talking about semifinals or even state finals, three and outs are death sentences. You have to every single drive put something together, waste some clock, and put yourself in position to when you get the ball back, you're in a better position than where you started, basically. So three and outs are unacceptable at this point. If you have that, you're just putting yourself behind the eight ball.
And, you know, I think that we'll also see the football version of ball control.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, the Indians will be in a hurry to break the huddle and get up.
No need
and,
to.
You know, and again, just can shorten the game. We talked last week about, you know, for Benton and for Nashville, that it was going to be important not to fall behind 14-0.
Right.
And we were 50-50 on that one. You know, Nashville got behind and it snowballed on them in a hurry. I mean, Tolono Unity is just, they're outstanding. And Benton got behind two scores at Monticello. But the Rangers were able to come back and to do some things and get it to overtime and get stuffed at the 1 yard line on a game winning 2-point converter. What a heartbreaking way to end. Yeah. But again, with looking at Johnston City and the way they're built, you know, they can't get behind three scores early. And if they do, they can't abandon what they do, you know, unless it's late.
Right. Without a doubt. And back to Ben real quick. That's a Justin Groves team right there. That's a decision where he went to his guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I mean, he has so many seniors on that team, and I know he went into that huddle and said, "What do you guys want to do?" He trusts his guys, and that was a Justin Groves decision right there. You know, right. Why are we going to extend it to double overtime? Let's go ahead and end it right here, one way or another. And,
one play.
Yeah, and man, they were so close, and they put it in the hands of the right guy, I think, and just it ends up coming up short without a doubt. But yeah, when you talk about Johnson City 2, I don't know if they're built to come back from 14 or 21 when you're at this stage of the game. You know, it's when you're up against a team as good as, if not better than you, I don't know if they are built to make that type of comeback. Their defense is fantastic, but yeah, we keep coming back to the more mistakes you make, the more you're going to be giving them the keys to the car.
And, you know, when you think about 2 years ago, the game up at Decatur, yeah. I mean, St. Teresa went on to win. They were the prohibitive yep. favorites. And Johnson City was right there, you know, and you know, there were a couple things that, you know, went wrong. And you know, St. Teresa, being a good club, took advantage. And, you know, and then they got up a couple scores, and then it even though it was two scores, it felt like more than that. It's yeah. on the road, and it was frigid, and it was yeah. all those things. You know, and again, I just – it's a fascinating matchup for me. You know, statewide, you know, people would be shocked if it's Johnston City moving on. Yeah. I would not be.
I wouldn't either. No.
And I think that they have kids that make plays. And not that – again, not that Moroa doesn't. And, you know, their track record speaks for itself. And then, you know, you look at what they did in clutch time against, you know, arguably, you know, perhaps the, you know, one of the top couple teams or maybe the top team in the bracket. I mean, that, you know, Quincy Notre Dame, that was what a lot of people were talking about mm-hmm. when you looked at the schedule they played and, you know, and to, you know, to have the touchdown drive and on, you know, late in the fourth and to get it and then to get the 2-point conversion. So they've got some clutch genes there in Moroa Forsyth. Again, yeah. I'm fascinated by the matchup, and I you know, I tweeted out our friends at channel1450.com, put together a little hype video for the game with some video from Johnson City, some video from Moroa, and it's like, and that was Wednesday, I think. I was like, yeah. is it Saturday yet?
Yeah,
and,
really.
You know, one more sleep as we record.
Yes, absolutely. And everything is just, you know, building itself to a fantastic afternoon. 3:30 kickoff. I think that might be the best time to kick off, honestly, when you're talking about a semifinal game. The weather looks fantastic, sunny. The high is 54 when it's 3:30. It's probably about reaching that peak in the high. And then things are going to start getting chilly by the time that it's game overtime. But, yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Let's sleep and go to the game.
And this is this predates you a little, and it's fine. I'm old, but, you know, that the 3:30 start time just gives me the old school vibes of the NFC East, you know, Dallas at the Giants yep. in the Meadowlands with Pat Summerall and John Madden, where the game starts in daylight, but it finishes yeah. under the lights. And
I love those times.
And this is what we have. And, you know, I mean, and look, whoever wins, it wouldn't have mattered what time you started because you're going to the state championship game. But again, I think that the atmosphere, it's going to be fantastic.
Oh yeah, you can't beat it. And Johnson City alone is going to show out, and then you add in all the high school football junkies that are going to show up, not just Southern Illinois but Central Illinois also. There's going to be a lot of people traveling to this game specifically, and it's man, yeah. Southern Illinois knows how good Johnson City is. The rest of the state knows how good Moroa Forsyth is. I would not be surprised if this is one of the most packed stadiums on Saturday.
Now, the winner of that game will face the other semifinal winner, which is the 6-seed Chicago Christian, who's 11-1, at the 1-seed Farmington, who is 12-0. And Farmington, I believe, was the only unbeaten in the entire bracket.
I think there was one. I think the two-seed up there was two.
But again, that's the other semi. And of course, those two would meet Friday after Thanksgiving in the 1 o'clock state championship game in 2A. So that is the way 2A shapes up. In 1A, the Altoff Crusaders at 12-0, after demolishing KZ Westfield in the quarters, will host Camp Point Central, who's 11-1. That is a 2 o'clock kick. The other semifinal, Lena Winslow and Leroy, both are 12-0. And I don't know that you could find a foursome in 1A that is more power packed than the group they have.
No, I would agree completely. And that Lena Winslow Leroy game right there is man, that is a heck of a matchup right there. Just knock 'em, sock 'em, robots type of game right there.
That game might take 70 minutes to play.
It could, yeah.
Because I don't think there will be many forward passes in that one. And then Althoff gets a shot at Camp Point, who beat them last year in this very same game. And, you know, I mean, you don't expect necessarily to win 54-7 in the quarters.
No.
But what it will be interesting is, how will this Althoff team respond if they're challenged late? And we haven't seen that a ton, but and they played a great schedule, which tells you how good they are. But, you know, and that was kind of the wheels fell off last year, but that was at Camp Point, a little different.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now being at Althoff, interesting matchup, without a doubt, here in the South bracket. And I mean, I think Althoff goes in as the favorite, but Camp Point, you never, never count out.
Right. In 3A, you've got Tolono Unity at Monticello, in a game that the folks around here were all hoping was going to be Nashville at Benton, but it works out the other way. And it's a conference matchup, Unity at Monticello, rematch from, I believe, week 9, which Unity won. The other 3A semi is Wilmington at 12-0 on the road at the 9 seed Montini, who is 10-2. So, again, semifinal matchups are just fantastic. Yeah. In 4A, you got Mount Zion, who we saw beat Carterville in round 1, at Normal U-High, who last week went to Cahokia and thumped. He came up with just a big road win over the Comanches. That's a 7 o'clock kick at ISU. And so, again, you got Normal U-High, who plays its home games at ISU. And if Mount Zion wins, they're going to get 2 straight games at ISU.
That's right. But otherwise, Normal U-High will just have another day at the office.
Just another day.
Yeah. Exactly. And when you look at the other side, Monticello and Tolono right there, I mean, that's going to be a fantastic game. But Tolono right now is riding all the wave and everything. They didn't have to play an overtime game last week and hope that they could stop a 2-point conversion. They just shut Nashville down immediately. They're riding that wave, and I think they should feel pretty confident about what they're going to do against Monticello.
In 5A, it's Morris, the 13 seed, at Joliet Catholic. An interesting side note, Brock Babington, who is a Johnston City alum, played for the Indians. His dad was the coach for a long time. He's an assistant for that Morris club, and so they're in the semis as well. They got a tough task at Joliet Catholic. The other one's Wheaton St. Francis at Nazareth Academy, so Morris the only public school left in 5A. And in 6A, East St. Louis gets a home game against Oaklawn Richards. That's a 2 o'clock kick. The winner of that one would face Cary Grove or Geneva. And, again, Eastside has been the dominant force this season, but they have been beaten in the 6A championship game. It doesn't happen very often before then, but again, they've got a home game to get there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good week of semifinal games, without a doubt. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what East St. Louis does. They're always in my peripheral, especially in postseason time. They're looking pretty good this year, but we'll see. That's why you play the games.
Exactly. Girls basketball tipped off this week. Boys basketball tips off Monday. Next week we'll have plenty of hoops talk, and maybe we're talking about a Johnston City trip to the 2A state title game.
I hope so. And if that's the case, obviously we won't be able to do it on Friday. So
right. Well, and Thursday's Thanksgiving, yeah, so we'll have to record earlier in the week.
Probably Wednesday.
But anyway, so that's again an exciting week coming up. Is kind of that crossover. Got basketball going and football still wrapping up, but I think a lot of folks in the 618 would like to have football for one more week.
I agree completely. Whenever we do get to have a 618 team up there, specifically in Little Egypt, or maybe when you expand it a little bit more, because Nashville and those communities are kind of Little Egypt, kind of not, you know. But when you take, you know, the Deep South, basically, when a Deep South team makes their way up there, we're always happy, and it's always exciting, and sometimes they come up with a win, too.
Of course, we'll have all the highlights and reactions for you on RiverRadioSportsCentral.com, and we'll talk about it Saturday night, our final playoff edition of Friday Night Live, presented by Charlie's AC and Heating. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the River Radio Sports Central podcast. Alongside Matty V, I'm Darren Kennard. Thanks to our friends at NovaCare Rehabilitation for presenting it. and we will talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.